The great German scholar Friedrich Blass once wrote a book entitled The Literary Beauty of Ancient Greek. And of course, you would expect him to discuss the works of the great poets and the writers of prose. And he has one chapter on Hebrews. Hebrews. He considered the most literary book in the New Testament, not that the others are not divinely inspired, he believed that, but he points out that Hebrews is truly a literary work par excellence, and that's true. Those of you who've tried to read Hebrews in Greek, you know what I'm talking about. And Hebrews is not for lazy exegetes. There is no such thing as a lazy exegete. The two terms are mutually exclusive, aren't they? You know that. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is many, many commentaries say that the faith in Hebrews 11 is not Christian faith. It's not the faith of the New Testament, but it's a kind of a general trust in God. Well, people who say that should read Blass's book, because even the theology is a great work of art in this book. Let me explain what I mean. In the first chapter, of course, you've got an outline of Christ in the Old Testament. He picks out a bunch of passages from the Old Testament and he leads you through. It's just as if you were walking with Jesus and the Emmaus disciples. He leads you through the Old Testament. Then in chapters 5 to 10, he unfolds the great fulfillment of the Aaronic priesthood in Christ. And he keeps saying over and over, once for all, once for all. Christ has fulfilled all of this, and he now is our great high priest. And then he comes to chapter 11, which is followed, you know, by this sentence, wherefore, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us look steadfastly at Christ, who is the author and finisher of the faith, meaning there is none other. And so, what we're talking about in chapter 11, though the word Christ is not mentioned, and that's the beauty of this chapter, though Christ is not mentioned, he's in every verse. Faith is the conviction of things which are truly going to happen. That's what that first sentence means. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things which go beyond our senses. A Christian sees more clearly than, he goes beyond his five senses. He sees what nobody else sees, and he hears what nobody else hears. And that's what these first 16 verses are all about. I like to call these the steeple verses. If you ever come into Chicago, over Lake Michigan, coming into O'Hare, you notice that on the near northwest side, all of those church steeples, they're not all Lutheran, but there are a lot of church steeples there. All right, that's the way these first 16 verses are. He keeps saying over and over and over, they looked for a better country. They longed for their eternal home. They looked for a city that had abiding foundations. Now, I just want to run, I've got to hurry here, just want to run through a couple examples. You would expect the writer to start out by saying, well, now faith in Jesus forgives us our sins, but he doesn't. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created, and then he uses words which to the effect that God created everything out of nothing. You know, everybody believes that God created the universe. That's natural knowledge of God, but only a Christian believes. You know, that's particularly Christian. If Christ doesn't persuade you that God made everything out of nothing, it's not faith, is it? Okay, he creates, he makes out of nothing. Create in me a clean heart, O God. He makes something where there wasn't anything before. Then the second verse, you'd think, surely now he's going to get around to Christ. No, he talks about Abel. He says that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, which means his relationship to God was correct. He must have known Jesus. He must have known Jesus. And of course, we know, as we are told later on, that these Old Testament witnesses look forward to the Christ who is to come. Then Enoch, whom God translated so that he did not see death, which reminds us right away that, Enoch lived and died in the way that Adam should have. Adam should not have died at the end of his life, and Enoch didn't. And so God gives us this man as an earnest of what's going to happen to us. Noah. I was reading the other day that according to the dimensions in Genesis, the ark displaced 40,000 tons. That's half the size of the Queen Mary. 40,000 tons will hold a lot of elephants and fleas, won't it? Tremendous. And you know, Peter tells us that only 8 were saved. Can't you imagine that Noah was tempted to say, hey, Lord, hey, only 8 of us? We can't be right as opposed to these millions. By the way, if somebody tells you and you're preaching the right thing, don't say that so loud, because if you insist there only be 5 of you left in the Missouri Synod, well, just remind them of Noah, huh? Only 8. Abraham. And then I'll stop. Abraham. If ever a man had the right, and forgive me for saying, Lord, you just don't know what you're doing. Abraham did. Just think. Without a book and without a map, get out of this nice country. And he was sent to a land of gays and baby killers, right? Canaan, the land of the 7 pagan tribes. And you remember how, then you remember this trial with Isaac. You know, I don't, just think of what a trial that was. And then when the Lord met him and they walked from Hebron, they were going on their way down to the Dead Sea. Abram, sir, please don't get angry with me. I want to ask you a question, you know. Abram just couldn't figure out that the Lord would burn these big cities because his nephew lived there. Well, it's all right. If I find 5 there or whatever that number was, I won't destroy the city. He really tested that man, didn't he? Now, you've got to preach the faith, gentlemen, that will see people through, right? Not just to grin and bear it, but to live joyfully, knowing that the steeple is always pointing up to what lies beyond. Not that they're not doing their job now, as these many believers, you teach them in Jesus that their sins are forgiven. By the way, the sins of all these people are not mentioned in Hebrews 11, not one mention of sin. And boy, they were a pack of sinners, weren't they? But their sins are not mentioned. So, study hard, do your exegesis, prepare yourself to preach the faith. Amen.